Blog Talk Radio.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel-blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon, and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's, I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out on my own, walking the streets. Look at the things that I meet. I feel like I want to go. What do I feel? What do I know? But I still believe through the shame and through the grief, through the heartache, through the tears, through the waiting, through the years, for people like us in places like this, we need all the hope.
Everybody, or good morning, everybody, wherever you might be, whatever part of the world you might be. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. I'll read my little script out today because we've got some update information for you. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show. We host, that's me, Jeff. Sida Mitchell, and my panellist this afternoon, and wingman, is Dave Agadil Milner and Al Jan, the Tornado Rennie. They might join us, so be prepared for the storm. There you go, Jan. As I write this script for the show today, this was yesterday actually, we still are not sure of what the verdicts at the Old Bailey for Mr. Tommy Robinson will be. By the time the show goes to air, we may know the verdict, and we shall be discussing this decision along with the items of moment. We also have a demo at Disbury on the 1st of October, so put soldiers, angels and supporters of the cause once again into the breach, brothers and sisters, feet on the street, no surrender, in hoc, signo vinces. With that, let me bring on, we've got our Jan is joining us this afternoon. We've got Jan, the Tornado, Arani, and Dave, Agador, Milner. So, Jan, if you're there, if you'd like to go first. Ladies
first. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Dave. It's good to be back. It really is. I've missed you all, and especially the broadcasting and the different shows and topics. Yes. Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, You know, we know that your working schedules, it is what it is, and work always has to come first when you're bringing a bread and butter home, and I'm not. But so good to hear your voice again, my dear. I know myself and Dave welcome you back so much. We loved you doing your thing with all the things you do, the links that you put in, different things, and I know Dave is really glad to have you back as well, like I am, and all of our listeners. Just to let you know, before I pass it to Dave, we've got Colleton joining us this afternoon. As I say, we have got some news about Tommy Robinson, but I want to bring Dave on, and then we will share with all of our listeners exactly what's gone on today. And when we do, I want to pass the controls and everything to our Jan, because she's got a transcript of some of the things that's gone on from today. So with that, I'd like to pass it to you, Dave. And welcome this morning, brother. I hope you're well.
Yeah, hello, Jeff, and welcome back, Jan, as always. And, good afternoon to everybody in the UK, and good morning to everybody in North America, and hello to everyone else. This is going to be a big day. We didn't know exactly what kind of a show we were going to have, but we've got all sorts of stuff to cover, and I think you guys are going to find this a good and substantive show. So, let's rock this thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Dave, as I say, we've got a, well, we're doing the show, we're just doing these shows about 90 minutes for the time being, and until the darker nights come in, and then we can go a little bit longer. It's just other things I need to be doing. I'm just looking at the moment, make sure my robo-mower's doing all right, Jay. It gets caught up now and again. You know, you've got to leave it to its own devices sometimes. Let's go climbing trees and things like that. Before we move on, I was wondering, as we've got Colleton, he's a real good lad. He's here week in, week out. I want to do the honours to that. I've got a new patch of my gold stars for some of our people that get into the chat room first. So I was wondering if I pass you this, Jen. Yeah, pass it, yeah. Could you pass it to Colleton?
I don't know if you get the chat room, Jeff. Let me have a look.
Oh. Well, you could do it over here.
You know, get restrictions in getting in the chat room for some reason.
Well, Colleton, I've just passed it to Jen. She's passed it. So just imagine you've been handed one of our special gold stars.
Gold star.
But anyway, Jane, before we progress, so you have got a transcript you want to share with the what's been going on earlier today, correct, Jane?
Yes, I have. regardless of all the other videos about Tommy Robinson's court appearance at the Old Bailey today, what I picked up on was from the BBC. As usual, the BBC interrupted him four times. I won't go into that while I read the transcript because it just throws it all out. But for those who still don't completely understand why Tommy Robinson was in court again today and has been adjourned until the 23rd of October, this is kind of how it all went. I will give you the transcripts afterwards. I'll tag you both in them. And here we go. It starts off with the BBC outside of the courts. Can I just say before I start, I have never seen so many American patriots staying up through the night that was online this morning asking questions, geeing on Tommy, wishing him all the best. I also noticed that Generation Identitaire was outside the Old Bailey. Good on them. Here we go with the transcript and what Tommy had to say. The first one was a BBC interviewer who says, "Mr. Robinson, what are you expecting today?" Tommy: "The sentence I got was a breach of Section 4 reporting restriction. That same weekend, three national journalists from three national newspapers breached the same restriction. Judge Marsden, the judge who sentenced me, I got the transcripts from his court cases. He was made aware that other people had committed exactly the same crime. None of them has faced prosecution. This case is political. I am being taken to court and imprisoned because I speak out against Islam and Islamic rape gangs. That's a fact. Justice is supposed to be blind, not deaf and dumb. If other people have committed the same crime as me, they also must face justice. Tommy, never in 70 years as a journalist been imprisoned in this country. You run stories about political prisoners in Myanmar, in other countries. You have your own political prisoner here, but rather than support me, what you do as the media is you all rally against me and say that I deserve to be in prison. Everything I said outside Leeds Crown Court was factual and already in the public domain." Then the BBC journalist again asks, "I have to ask you again, Mr. Robinson, what are you expecting today?" Tommy: "I am expecting the full weight of the establishment against me, which is what I have had for 10 years. And there you go, guys. That was straight from the horse's mouth. And then he was ushered off into court. And as you know, the case was adjourned, and Tommy is indeed a political prisoner. Back to you, Jeff.
I mean, he got his bail, though, yeah? He's got his bail, didn't he?
As far as I know, yes.
He is out of court.
Yeah,
Jeff,
there was restrictions or anything on him. He's just got to appear back. Why? I just don't understand why they haven't got their case together. They've had plenty of time to sort out the Crown against Tommy, whatever. It seems they're playing around, isn't it? It's typical of the establishment being involved involving politics with what's going on with Mr. Robinson. It's very sad because he's a journalist. Tommy's a journalist. He isn't, he isn't an MP or anything like that. But he's been treated as like a pariah. Is that a decent word? He is. I think he seems like he's a pariah. He's Tommy against the elite, the establishment. It's very sad, but it shows the world, as I say, there was about 1,500 people that was really, really interested. And Tommy's got a lot of support in the United States, and not just the United States, but on a global basis. Tommy is a really charismatic character, says it how it is. He speaks in layman's terms. He speaks what the people. What we're all talking about, that we talk about on his radio shows, Tommy's been full fright, and he's putting his life on the line sometimes, and of course, his own security on the line, by standing up and speaking out and doing his thing. As Kevin Gowers said, he said earlier on, before you know Tommy went to the case, said at the latter day Tom Robin Hood, Tommy Robin will be. But yeah, that's Kevin for you. He feels that, and I think most of us do. I look more towards Tommy Robinson more as an Oliver Cromwell in a futuristic way, ladies and gentlemen. I do look that people like Tommy is the type of people who can make a change. And maybe he does need to go on a political side of it. Maybe. I mean, it could easily build the forces up to do that and oppose the establishment and the elite, which, if he looks towards Donald Trump at Donald Trump fairs and people around him, he'll know it is a very, very difficult situation. But if he's got it in him, and he has, it's amazing what you can accomplish. And he's accomplished so much in his young life. I mean, what is he, 36, 37? I mean, he's a young man, isn't he, Jan and Dave? But, yeah, he's been bailed to the 23rd of October. And that's what we want to discuss today. But thank you for that, Jan, reading it out, what Tommy had to say about it. I mean, and I'm really surprised that he would want to even talk to the BBC, because we know how he is, and it's the same with Sky and all that. He doesn't really want to engage with those people who just wish him harm, you know. Who wants to speak? Going at him in his face so they could attack you and stick knives in your back. It's what they all do, isn't it? But anyway, Dave, your thoughts, at least he's free with his family for another month or so anyway, so we'll just have to see. I just believe he's got to be thrown out. What can they have him on? What can they really have him on when there was other people that have actually printed what was done, what was said, and they've not been charged with contempt or anything like that? So it all comes down to contempt, and I don't think Tommy comes in the category of that. If he does, then why aren't all the others, the ones that he got his information from, the mainstream media, why ain't they appearing at the Old Bailey on contempt? But yeah, Dave, there's a question for our listeners, and that, why aren't the rest of them appearing for contempt of court? Why aren't they being slammed away and putting their lives in danger for speaking out? Don't get it. Don't get it. Never will. That's why I detest the mainstream media. Basically, these days, we are the mainstream media. Well, I mean, we're citizen journalists and everyday people. But Dave, your thoughts? I mean, we've been keeping very close eye and bated breath of exactly how this was going to go. And I'm just happy that he's he's out of prison anyway. That's the main thing.
Well, this is obviously, Jeff, this is obviously selective prosecution. It's just what it's called here in the States. When a person is charged and convicted of a crime that other people have committed, or an offense that other people have committed, and have not been charged and convicted for. It's obviously political. And, you know, he points these things out very well. Now, I've got a pair of audios here. One of them from all the way back into the 20th, but it does highlight the extra charges that they want to put on him. And I think that the I'll hold what I have to say about the adjournment today. But if you guys, you and Jan, don't mind, I'll go ahead and play this audio. It's 13 minutes long, but it's worth hearing because it details, in a sense, what they're actually going to try and get him on, because they really can't get him on the contempt charge. That's idiotic, and they'll probably wind up having to throw that out. What I'm guessing, Jeff, is that they're going to try and get him on these other two things. So if you and Jan don't mind, I'll go ahead and start this audio, all right? This first one.
Yeah, you go ahead, Dave. You go ahead. I've just muted myself because the child is getting a bit busy, so just go ahead.
Okay. All right, here we go, guys. This will be about 13 minutes and 15 seconds long. But this is Tommy. It's Tommy Robinson on the 20th, and he's going to be detailing in here a couple of the charges that they're going to try and get him on eventually. There we go.
This is just me giving an update to my court trial, which will take place on the 27th of September at the Old Bailey. Can you believe that? I'm being taken to the highest court in this land, the highest, most senior court, a court that's used to hearing terrorism charges, some of the most high-profile murders in Britain, and now it's going to face the trial of Tommy Robinson, who spoke through his iPhone and gave people information that's already in the public domain. I kid you not. I haven't done live streams for a little while. I've been trying to sort some stuff out. I've had so much going on, and I've just been waiting for this court date, to be honest. It's like I can't really get on with my life because I expect to go back to prison next Thursday. So I haven't been able to really make plans. I'm doing this now just as a live stream instead of making a video and putting it out. Kaylin and George are no longer working with me at the minute. So I'm just doing a quick live update so I can keep people informed, because I was originally sent to prison for breaching a Section 4 report and restriction order. That's what they took me to court for. That's what they tried me for. And in a kangaroo court, sent me to prison for. Now, they're added two extra charges. So when I go before the Old Bailey, I'm not just up on that one order. They've widened that order. So I know a lot of comments. I keep seeing people saying, this is going to get thrown out. And it should get thrown out. But they're not. They're going all guns blazing. They're trying to. I've just been told tonight, 2 years in prison. 2 years in prison for speaking through my phone and giving people information. So on the Section 4 reporting restriction that I'm meant to have breached. The reporting restriction says no reporting on these proceedings whatsoever. That's basically what it says. But then if you read the law, which is what I done the morning of that court. So the morning I went to that court, I went into court. I looked up on the screen to see what the reporting restriction was. There was nothing on the screen about a reporting restriction. Now, their own guideline says there has to be. I've got a photograph from the screen that day that says this proves there wasn't. There was nothing on the door either. So then I looked online at reporting restrictions. Now, what the law states is that the judge has no power to issue reporting restrictions over any information that's already in the public domain, which makes sense. Because if you can find it on the internet, what's the point in having a reporting restriction on it? So then I stood outside court and I'd gone to training previously on contempt of court. So I made sure that I didn't presume the men's guilt, that I pointed out that they're innocent till proven guilty, that I didn't stand on the court property. And then I stood there and made the public aware of the ins and outs of parts of this case, all the stuff that's in the public domain. I knew lots of stuff that wasn't in the public domain. I still do. I never shared it or spoke about it. I never in any way would want to jeopardise one of those trials. In fact, I've spent the last 10 years trying to highlight these issues and bring them to the public's attention and force the police into bringing prosecutions against these people. Why would I want to do something that I thought could damage it? So the last thing I'd want to do was that. So I went up there. I stood there calmly. I asked the men how they felt about their verdict. Now, one of the issues that when I've gone through in my legal teams is that may be one of the issues that I asked them about their verdict. When I go to court on next Thursday, many of you will watch live. Watch all the press. Watch how they behave towards me. Now, the widening of their case. So, originally, it's breaching this Section 4 public, this Section 4 reporting restriction. Now, the Section 4 reporting restriction was not just on the Muslim, alleged Muslim paedophile case. When he sent me to prison, he also continued this reporting restriction on that. Now, three newspapers that weekend breached that reporting restriction. I've got evidence and photographs of all of them. Hull Daily Mail, Leeds Live. They all broke the reporting restriction. None of them have been prosecuted. None of them. 2 weeks after I was in prison, Scottish Telegraph paper breached the reporting restriction. They got a fine. Rod Liddell writes for the Sunday Times. During the Stephen Lawrence murder trial, he breached a reporting restriction and almost clapped the trial. He got a £4,000 fine. A journalist I met the other day breached a reporting restriction and clapped a murder trial at Leeds Crown Court. Nothing happened to him. So that people understand, reporting restrictions are commonly broken across this country by journalists. None of them ever gone to jail. In fact, the government's own guidelines, if you read them, state that by sending journalists to prison, the journalists should never get done. The companies paying who they work for should be the people who get the fine, not prison. Now, the reason I'm facing two extra charges, let me just detail so that, and the reason why I want to do this is because when you all read the news headlines on Thursday, Tommy Robinson sent to prison for bringing prejudice to trial, and all the news headlines run everywhere saying, see, look, he was guilty, look what he done. Yeah? What the allegations now against me are, this is what it is, I'll read you it. This is what I'm facing in prison for. I refer to the religion of the defendants, the ethnicity of the victims, in the context of his opinion, presented as a fact that those of the defendant's religion were disproportionately likely to commit crimes of the sort for which the defendants were being tried. So basically, I said that Muslims are overrepresented in convictions for sexual exploitation of young children. 90% of the convictions for child exploitation in grooming gangs is Muslim men. Muslims make up 4% of the British population, yet they're responsible for 90% of the convictions. That's a fact. I'm sorry, which I've just sat down and I've had this out now with law. I've gone through one law firm because I was being advised that I must apologise. I must meet the government in the middle. I must meet them in the middle, apologise and plead guilty, and then I will get to go home from court that day. If I don't do that, which I'm not going to do that, then I will be going to prison. So the fact that I presented a fact, which is what it is, it's a fact compiled actually by a Muslim organisation called Quilliam that done the data and the facts of the convictions. So I presented a fact. And I know we don't like facts in this country anymore. The other point, highlighting as significant the sexual references of the abuse that he had elicited from the defendants that he had confronted. So as these Muslim men walked into court, or I might get done there for mentioning they're Muslim, as these Muslim men walked into court, I didn't confront them. I said, like a journalist would, how are you feeling about your verdict, sir? I was very calm and polite. The response I received was sexual remarks of rape against my mother and my wife. So because they made those remarks against me, that, clearly written here, is what they want to send me to prison for. I kid you not. More generally, making highly derogatory comments about the ethnic and religious backgrounds and associations of the defendants. What they use as that. Now, the derogatory comments that I meant to have used, let me read you them. And when they're convicted, the family shout at about the girls being slags, you know, 11-year-old slags, they'd be children. But of course, under Islamic ideology, they're not children, they're women, as soon as they start their periods. So they see it as their own fault, that is their fault, and that they're on the streets and they shouldn't have been out late at night, and all these things are our fault, and it has nothing to do with the men that are abusing, or you hear certain politicians that turn around and say, it's an opportunity. They're taxi drivers, it's because of the opportunity. Well, don't all non-Muslim taxi drivers have the same opportunity? But they don't do it in a mass scale, so it's obviously not to do with opportunity. So the derogatory, this is the government, this is from the government, the derogatory comments about the ethnic and religious backgrounds and associations. So because I said under Islamic ideology that they're not young girls, they're women, because they are under Islamic ideology, it's another fact. It's another bloody fact. So because I said that, making statements and selection of defendants for filming indicating an assumption of the stand at the minute, unless something drastically changes on Thursday. I will be tried, and rather than being tried on breaching the reporting restriction, the same reporting restriction that multiple newspapers repeat breached on the same weekend, that none of them face charges for. That, Section 4, is what I'll be tried on. And then the fact that I mentioned that they're Muslim. That's what they want to send me to prison for. Clearly here, I'll let you read it. Just so you can get it. It's all there. I'll take a photo. I'll put it online. Because the men walking into court said they wanted to fuck my mother, they want to send me to prison. And because I made highly derogatory comments about their religion, derogatory factual comments. So, and the thing is, when I went outside court, everything I said is in the public domain. Okay? I didn't assume the men's guilt. I didn't confront them, as I had done years before, in any sort of aggressive manner. I didn't make comments. I made sure I stuck within the law. But with contempt of court, it's a strict liability law, which basically means the judge can say what he wants. Now, contempt laws were brought in Britain, I think, 70 years ago. Never in 70 years has anyone or any journalist been prosecuted, sent to prison for it. Now, ask yourself this. If this was about law, just the law, no politics, keep the politics out of it. If this is about me breaking a law, then ask yourself this. If I stood outside of a court trial on any other issue, yeah? Say there was a reporting restriction on anything else other than Muslim paedophiles, yeah? If there was a case of anything else and I broke that restriction, does anyone think within 3 hours I'd have been sentenced to 13 months in prison? When you can see all the things that happened when I went to cut... Now, what they're saying is that for the crime of talking through my iPhone and revealing information that's already in the public domain, for the crime of giving facts and figures and statistics about convictions in the UK, for that crime, they don't feel that 2.5 months solitary confinement, starved, and subject to non-stop threats and non-stop bullshit for the whole of that sentence, without my rights that I should have had, they don't think that's enough. They don't think that's enough. So now they want me at the Old Bailey and they want to add extra charges. And you'll all watch as this unfolds on Thursday, where the mainstream media will do the government's job for them by bullshitting you on what's happened in court and the reasons why I should be convicted. Just like last time, they all come out as experts without even reading what happened in court. None of them even knew what went on. No one knew. None of them even tried to find out. Or they said, yes, yes, he should definitely be in jail. He was on a suspended sentence.
And there you go, guys. Now, that goes on a bit from what Jan read to us, but it expands out on it. And I just want to say, I'll take a first bite at it. I just want to say that just imagine what it must be like if you're a family person trying to live your life, knowing that it's all on hold because the government's trying to put you in prison. And that's what he's living with. So there you go, Jeff and Jan. I do have another audio in a bit, but I'm sure you both want to comment on that one. Yeah.
I would agree with you, Dave. It's like having a cloud hanging over you, not being able to get your life together, knowing that's hanging over you, and could expect when next time you appear at the court that you could get a sentence, as he said, up to 2 years. That is quite concerning. From And you can understand. I mean, he hasn't got his. I mean, it seems like his normal team are not with him anymore. So you know, Tommy's he's doing his own thing. And it's been a while, as I say, you haven't heard from him for a while. I had a feeling that's what it was. It's because it's the thing that's hanging over you to what he experienced when he was in prison. You know, that lays heavy on you. Whether you could be like Collison, like a Richard the Lionheart, but that doesn't stop the impact of when you are put in a dangerous situation, as Tommy was, and having his life threatened 23, 24 hours a day, and having things put through his window, those sort of things. So, yeah, I can understand. I mean, for him to take this on his shoulders as he has done, I mean, I'll be thinking now, if I was Tommy, myself, this is me, about time maybe I just went to a country that appreciates me and don't treat me with the way as an enemy of the state. But Tommy's a battler, he's a fighter. I mean, this is where he was born, this is where he's bred, this is he's a patriot, and he'll fight it for the rest of his days. I mean, he's that type of a man. I highly respect his stance on this, because you know what? Think about it, Dave. I mean, I don't know that I could put up with anything
Jeff.
Like what Tommy's had to.
He's gone.
You know, and
well,
how many other
the audio
people
dropped
out
earlier, too, during the audio.
Yeah,
I noticed that too.
Very strange.
Doing.
Well, again,
no one. I mean,
what do you think about all this?
Time becomes the person.
Well, you know,
he
definitely is being used as a political prisoner. What baffles me is why this morning the court hearing was at the Old Bailey. I remember when it was just terrible crimes that was held at the Old Bailey, like murders back in the 60s, 50s, whatever. He was arrested over something he said in Leeds, which has been broadcast by three other journalists, as he said. So why wasn't he took back to Leeds? Why the Old Bailey? It's so significant, the Old Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
Again, they're making a statement. It's like they're using Tommy to threaten all of us. Mm. It's a shame they don't use someone like Chowdhury to threaten the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're making an example of him. If hanging was in place, I'm sure they'd have hung him by now. It's like a cat and mouse game. Imagine the torment of his wife and children.
Sure.
Imagine the torment of his mother and father, who years ago, by the way, people had their bank accounts and their accounts arrested. They couldn't draw any money. Tommy couldn't draw any money. His wife couldn't get any money. And they have tried every which way but loose to condemn and destroy Tommy Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, of course, will be death. But then they're already probably thinking, what happens if? They're going to have a lot to answer for one day.
Well,
I'm just pissed off it's not soon.
Well, you know, Jen, I look at it this way. And this is how I read it. You correct me if I'm wrong. In your opinion, the extra charges that they're putting on, that they want to send him to prison for 2 years, two more years for, basically amounts to this kind of BS hate speech stuff, because he mentioned that they're Muslims.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it, guys. That's the new stuff that they're charging, that they want to charge him with here. And, you know, I'm very glad that he didn't go to prison today. You know, and I'm positive he is and his family is as well. But this is still hanging over his head, that, you know, the possibility that he could be going to prison at almost any time, because who knows when they're, you know, if they might shift the court date. You know, they've been known. That has been known.
Yeah.
You know, they could do anything at all to disrupt his life, because the government has all the money in this. And Tommy Robinson is just Tommy. The only thing he's got is the kind of support that he can get from patriots, and he's getting a lot of that. But you know, it's just diabolical in its scope what they're trying to do to this guy. And I did like how in the audio he pointed out in detail. You know, Jan, you read the transcript, but he pointed out in detail. The journalists that had breached the same restrictions, and they got fined.
Now, you know, I was talking this morning.
Or nothing.
For us original members of the EDL, many years ago, we saw a video shot by a fella down at Tommy's home.
Uh-huh.
Where three armed, and I mean armed, they'd got assault rifles and a handgun, at least. Three Muslims knocked on his door. Tommy came out, of course, and stood his ground. Someone rang the police, either within the home or outside of the home, because there was people standing back watching. What did they do? The police arrested Tommy, put him in handcuffs and threw him in the back of the van, back of the car, and the three Muslims who were armed to the teeth drove off. That we all saw with our own eyes. And that was probably 7 years ago, maybe longer, don't know. That's just an example. That's what we have to put up with in this country. This is a victimization of a man who is a damn good patriot. Pisses me off. And you know what? They keep stirring the pot and stirring the pot. This protection of Islam.
I'm not sure what's going on here. It's just I'm having a few issues. I'll have to call back in again. Sorry about this, guys. I'm getting a few issues. Well, I'm not sure if Dave's here or not, but I've been having a few issues here, ladies and gentlemen, so bear with me. It's thrown me a little bit here for the moment, so if you bear with me, I'm just waiting for Dave or Jan. I don't know if you're there, Jan or Dave, but unfortunately I've got a few problems here that was happening there, but... Let me see. I'm going to play a bit of music for the time being. When I can find anything. So, just bear with me. Oh, here we go. I think...
There we are. Yeah. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, Dave.
You should have unmuted him earlier. He was singing.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened.
I was doing Jimi Hendrix.
I was just trying, because I couldn't hear Jan, and you sort of disappeared. You dropped off and off, and I was in a bit of a tournament. So I thought, well, I'll find a bit of music or something and get me folks behind me, surrounded me. And push forward.
Yeah.
But good to have you both back. Interesting the situation with Tommy today. There's something that Tommy actually said before I mentioned it. Where was the other journalists who had broke the content?
Yeah.
Things. Why hadn't they been put in the dock? Why hadn't they been done for contempt? Why hadn't they been sent to prison? Because there was two or three of them that did exactly the same. So why was it just Tommy? Why was it Tommy? it's quite obvious that they are trying to make a scapegoat of story to frighten the life out of people, patriots, that this is what
they
happens.
Are.
They're trying to make a showpiece.
Yep.
Jeff,
but the thing, what I want to know is, why didn't they just fine him? Why the criminal charges? When the other journalists only got fines or nothing, why didn't they just fine him?
It's quite obvious, isn't it, Dave? He tells the truth. The truth isn't what's acceptable within the establishment and the elitist ones out there. It isn't acceptable to where Islam is concerned. That is the reason why Tommy's been persecuted. The word is persecuted because that is it. He is a political a chess piece. You could call him a political chess piece because they want to move him around and cause him and his family as much discomfort as possible. And we've had enough of it. We've had enough of a young man being treated in a totally disgraceful way. This is something that isn't out of place in sort of where at the moment you've got this dictator, Dave, that used to be quite a well established country. What's it called? Begins with V, near Q. I can't remember what it's called now. Venezuela?
You're talking about Hugo Chavez.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is just unbelievable that we live, supposed to be a civilized country. It's quite obvious that we are falling back into a dark period. A dark period. I was looking forward to enlightenment. I was looking forward to pushing forward with different things. But it seems that our politicians, the elites, and those that drive the power want us to be dragged back to some sort of 6th century barbaric times, of the time of Mohammed. That's the sort of thing that it feels that way, Dad. Am I crazy with the way I think? Because it really feels like that. And what about you, Jan? I just can't believe that we live in a barbaric time, but they would put this dark, evil, satanic cult over a good Christian faith, good Christian values of this country. And look at they're doing away with the churches. It's terrible. It is terrible.
Hey, Jeff.
That we're trying to bring our children up, and they're taking away all the good values that we brought our kids up to believe in. Am I right, Jan?
Yes, of course you are, but I've just found something that you might find interesting. While you're talking, I'm looking to see if I can find these three other journalists, these national journalists, who have breached the same restriction as Tommy has done. So far, no luck, but listen to this. You know when Paul Alexander was alive and he used to go on about Snopes is a load of crap, which it is? Fact check. Was the far-right activist jailed for breaching a court restriction? Claim: Tommy Robinson was jailed in order to silence his reporting on the sex abuse trial in England and to protect Muslim paedophiles. Fact check by Snopes: false. And then I've got another one where this fella, have you heard of Wayman Bennett? He's the Joint National Secretary Stand Up to Racism, and he's the one pushing for Tommy to be jailed, apparently. So I'm going to have a little snoop around at this Wayman Bennett and probably upset him a little
Wayman
bit.
Wayman Bennett is a rapist as well. There's things floating about him. He's a sicko, he is. So anything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, and it is infallible, whatever he has to say. Jan, we know him well, don't we? Come on, we go back years. We know exactly what him and that little team of them used to get up to, women being raped and then being told to put in front of these sham kangaroo type of course and told keep your mouth shut. How many of them did we hear over the years, Jan?
Yeah, how many times we heard that? It's people like him that's defending gang rape, rape jihad, that he's defending jihad of any kind, whether it be road jihad or any other kind of Muslim jihad. And let's face it, we've got, what is it, 5 being released in the next couple of weeks, 5 terrorists that's only served a third of their sentence, very dangerous men, and yet we're persecuting a patriot who loves his country, loves, like you said, the values of this Christian country, of Christian values with your children, and he's being persecuted. And you know what? Inadvertently, we're all sitting back and watching this. I mean, many of us are probably thinking, well, would we go down this road? Would we go to prison? No, we'd back off. Tommy's not backing off. That's right.
I think if we're put in that position, we've got no choice.
That's a man,
we move forward. We don't, you know, we got an old saying, Jan, and we, you know, the EDL, we've no surrender. No surrender ever. We're not going to surrender to these people. We're not going to bow to them and apologise for upsetting the insensitivities of Muslims. Stop them. Stop them. They don't like
it. Can I ask you a question?
Sorry.
What crossed my mind today, and it probably crossed my mind before.
Yeah.
Do you still think of, in a way, as Tommy being our leader? Like he was in the EDL. I do. I still look on him as a leader.
Well, I do. Yeah, I got to admit, I mean, he's leading the main fight back. And I've never looked at Tommy. Okay, he left, he made a few comments. It was a bit of a kick in the teeth, but most of us know that there was a reason behind it. We know that if Tommy says or does anything, there's a reasoning behind it. And there was a lot of people that was really upset at the time. I think we know that, Jan. And, of course, we just sat quietly because, like myself and you, I know Tommy from the radio, the show. I like Tommy. I like the charismatic character. I like that bulldog spirit of Tommy. He epitomizes everything that you'd expect of a patriot. You know, and no wonder the Americans look so, so well towards Tommy, because he is the real deal. He is the real deal. He is our latter-day Richard the Lionheart that Colleton was saying. That's what it feels like to me. And unfortunately, those people who fight the good fight are victimized, persecuted by the establishment and the elitists. So I'm not sure if I've answered the question, but I do agree with you.
Yeah, I think you have.
As I say, we haven't got a leader as such in the EDL. We look towards Tommy as a leader, as a man, men amongst men, who stands on the shoulder of other men. And Tommy leads the front. He's never led by the back. He always wants to be at the front and take the fight forward. And that's why
One thing that haunted me about that whole situation, and I watched him a few times, was the haunted look in his face. His eyes told a different story to what he was saying. I really think his life or the life of his family was threatened, and he had no choice. That's how I read it.
Well, I would agree with you. We've had these conversations off of air, haven't we? Myself and you, Jan, and I think Dave.
Yeah.
We've often discussed that, the situation. And I'm very much in the same way as you're thinking, Jan. I'm very much in your way of thinking. But we can only support Tommy and do what we can, because he knows he's got great support. The thing is, it's a lonely course you've got to travel. When you've got to go down that path yourself, you know, and looking that there's a possibility of 2 years hanging over your head and thinking that It doesn't matter how much support you got and how much the British public loves you. That it's you who has to walk the walk, isn't it, Jan?
That's right.
I agree.
Yep.
It's his stand in life. I mean, you know, when he was born, I think he didn't even realise that one day he would be the leader of one of the greatest, the biggest movements in the world. He never thought that he would reach such heights from doing what he's been doing. It has a lot of responsibility. When you gain that much support and that's so many people out there, so many enemies, because it's not just the support. You've got great support, but you've got an enemy that wants to dismantle you, basically. He wants to take your head off. Who wants to cut your head off? Who wants to kill you, kill your family? And
the
elitists out there, let these people continue to make these threats. I don't know how many he has, Bose, to his head against him. How many threats he had against his... I think he's lost track of how many death threats he's had against him. It's just astronomical. Not just him, but his family. I mean, he's got a lovely family. And so, you know, it's very sad to think that this guy's got once again, be put on the edge of not knowing exactly the outcome. And maybe that's what it is. Let's make him sweat. Do you know, you can imagine the way they think, can't you? Let's make him sweat.
Oh, they'll probably lock him up for Christmas. Just to upset his children, they'll lock him up for Christmas.
That is what he said, by the way, guys, to the Telegraph. I did see that there. That he said, yeah, they want to have me in prison for Christmas. I just like to add to what you guys are saying. The times make the man.
The times make the man.
And Jeff, there's an echo, so you may want to call back in. And I'll go ahead and play an audio. Once I'm done saying what I'm going to say here. But yeah, the times make the man. I mean, it took special times to create a Winston Churchill. It took special times to create a Margaret Thatcher. It took special times to create a Golda Meir or an Abraham Lincoln or a Ronald Reagan. The times make the person, and in this case, the times have made Tommy Robinson. I'm sure this is not what he picked for his life to be. This constant being hunted by a state that. Yeah, this constant being, hunted by a state that wants him executed. I'm sure he did not want that, but the times are as they are, and Tommy Robinson is one of the greatest civil rights leaders, in my opinion, of the early 21st century. And you guys, I'm going to go ahead now and play an audio. This is just about two and three quarters minutes long. This is Ezra Levant from outside the courtroom today. Okay, just give us a listen here, guys. Here we go.
Ezra Levant here for the Rebel.media. I am surrounded by probably 1,500 Tommy Robinson supporters outside the Old Bailey. That's the traditional name for the Central Criminal Courts here in the heart of London. I have never seen such a crowd like this before. Boisterous, enthusiastic, chanting, as you can hear, the Tommy Robinson chant. And other chants, a very well-behaved and disciplined crowd, organic. I see some flags, lots of British flags. I see some For Britain political party flags. I saw some UKIP flags, and I don't think you could see them from behind the mass of police, but there are about 16 anti-Tommy professional protesters, the Antifa style, vastly outnumbered by journalists and, of course, by police. This is a very different scene than there was for Tommy's earlier court appearances at the Royal Courts of Justice before the Court of Appeal. There, Tommy specifically asked that his fans not attend, and indeed very few did. This is the opposite. There's actually a celebratory feel here, I would say. I think it's mainly because this is the first time many people have seen Tommy with their own eyes since his release from prison about 7 weeks ago. There's a celebratory mood outside, but I don't know what it'll be like inside, because this is really a double jeopardy retrial of his original contempt hearing. Now, I was looking earlier at the docket, the lineup of other cases being heard in the Old Bailey, and what you need to understand is this is not a junior court. This is the most serious criminal court in London, perhaps in the whole UK. On trial today are accused murderers, accused terrorists of the most severe variety, and amongst those alleged hardened criminals is Tommy Robinson, on trial for a civil contempt charge for talking into his iPhone on a Facebook live stream. It's so incongruous to have a trivial civil contempt matter tried at the Old Bailey. That in itself shows the disproportionate justice here. The fact that there's a second hearing at all is quite odd to me, for this would be called double jeopardy back in North America. It's hard for me to think straight with all the Tommy chanting going on, so let me sign off now. But for those who are interested, for the rest of the day, I will be filing reports at TommyTrial.com. If you want to see my reports from inside the court or my video reports from outside the court, check in with me today at TommyTrial.com.
All right, guys, that's...
Wow,
that's
that was amazing. And then now, as the defense, what can I say about that man? That is true journalism. What he was doing was being that man there, listening to what's going on around. This is magnanimous, and what we are seeing. This, with what's going on with Tommy, this could be what how you bring down a government. With the way that they've treated Tommy, this is how you get rid of governments. The Oliver Cromwell effect. They know we're not looking at King Charles being beheaded, but you can see the people are rising up against this injustice, against a citizen journalist. That is it. That is what we see. And Tommy's gained international. Do you know what? Donald Trump talks about Tommy Robinson. You know, the Americans know Tommy and respect and love Tommy. And, you know, and it has been talked about in Congress, hasn't it, Dave? They talked about it in Congress. A letter was handed in Congress going back a while ago now. But this is how much Tommy is engaged with the American public, the patriots. Would you agree with that statement, Dave?
Oh yeah. I mean, there is so much. there is so much involved. Those of us who are in the know over here, there is so much involved. This just the contemptible actions of the UK government just sticks out like a sore thumb. And the
if anybody should be held in contempt, it's our government. Yeah. They should be put on trial for what they're doing to the British public, the indigenous peoples. What do you think of that, Dave?
Well, yeah, I mean that there's definitely. I mean we have contempt for our own shadow government here in the United States, Jeff, as you know. We see more and more disgust in this country at what our own shadow government is getting up to, and it upsets us to see someone who is just pointing out some facts that that are about children being victimized in the UK, being treated as a political prisoner in what many of us consider to be a mother country. Certainly the country from which many of our founding philosophies were gained and everything. We've always considered the UK, to be as close as brothers. I mean, in November, Jeff. Now this is going to be interesting. In November, it's going to be 100 years since the end of World War One. 100 years ago, my grandfather was a part of the expeditionary force fighting with people from the UK, fighting the Kaiser. It's a very close relationship. So when we see a civil rights leader, of high caliber like this in the UK being treated with such contempt it's almost like the UK government is an evil little 5-year-old torturing a puppy or something. Not to say that Tommy Robinson is a puppy, but it's to say though that the UK government is this privileged, out of control entity that does what it wants to do with no regard at all for its own people. We see that in the fact that all we get, and Jed has commented on this, is just some show trials when it comes to these Islamic rape gangs, and then they're out in 2 or 3 years doing the same thing again and telling everybody to shut up about it. And to not mention that most of these, almost all these people that are doing this are Muslims. In fact, they want to put Tommy Robinson in prison for 2 years now, after they jerk him around for a few months, for basically saying that these people were Muslim. In other words, more hate speech, BS. This is the kind of thing that upsets us in the United States. And it's not just in the States, Jeff. You said yourself, it's all over the world. It's worldwide. It's Australia. It's in Europe. It's everywhere. It's in Central and South America that everybody recognizes. And this is for the UK government, people, and it's for the UK press. Don't think you're fooling anybody, except useful idiots that just read your stuff and then stick their heads in the sand. Everybody else knows what's going on. The whole world is watching, and the whole world is disgusted with the treatment of Tommy Robinson. Jeff and Jan, back to you.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. It's the total hypocrisy of the whole situation, where establishment, are being in a cloak and dagger situation with the judicial system to create the situation of having Tommy taken off the streets and put under his life, being put under all sorts of threats and that. If you talk about contempt, I don't see anything that Tommy did was contemptible. In fact, it was in the public domain. And anybody who ever put it in the public domain should be the ones who's standing in the dock alongside Tommy then. Why is it Mr. Robinson that has to feel the full effects of the elitists in the establishment being pissed off? If you talk about contempt, let's hold how our government and those in the higher echelons of themselves as contempt, and they should be in the dock. Personally, that's my own personal feeling. It doesn't, always interject with what the EDLs is, but this is my own personal feelings about it. And I don't know how strong Jan feels about that, but let me pass it to you, Jan. Would you hold our government in the same contempt that I do, Jan?
Of course I do. I mean, it's as Tommy said today to the BBC. he's getting prosecuted for doing the same thing three other national newspaper journalists have done. And yet I'm trying to look for the names to even try and shame them and make them step forward. And there's a complete blanket across hiding them. And it's right what he's saying. If he stands trial, then they should be standing trial. And so should their newspaper editors, because they've allowed them to do it, hidden them. You know, if it's a court restriction and it's the law and it was breached, then everyone who breached it should be on trial, not just Tommy. It's because of Tommy's stance against demonisation of this country.
Yeah, isn't it the case that they wanted to put Tommy put in that situation, and that any other media drew Tommy out to maybe add it as though he made a contemptible remark, which he didn't. He was just responding from one of the other newspapers that had already had it printed in their section. I mean, how could that be contemptible? And if that's, as you said, if that's the case, how come they're covering them up? Why are they covering up them? Why aren't they being put in the dock like Mr. Robinson? Why aren't they, their families being threatened and harassed? The reason why? The reason why is because they're in the same pockets as the elite and the establishment. They fall into the same category. Dave, your media falls into that category as well, doesn't it? Am I right? 90%
of them.
Well,
you know, who's getting backhanders for the silence?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants these paedophilia come, let's do as we like to these young girls, let's gang rape them, let's commit rape jihad, let's mm-hmm. even kill up a yep. few Christians here and there, let's get rid of Christmas, which they're quite successful in doing, let's get rid of Easter, which they have successfully got rid of Easter. They are allowing the Islamization of this country. They're allowing it. They're protecting the perpetrators of evil deeds. They're protecting the perpetrators of everything that's against human nature. Backwards.
And it's not just going on in the UK, Jen. I mean,
it's everywhere.
You know, I mean, it is actually jumping on Canada. You know, just like a Kodiak bear, you know, grabs a fish out of a stream and just, you know, eats it whole. I mean, you know, with you guys, it's taken about 30 years or more.
And longer.
With them, you know, it may take 10 years and they're going to be where you guys are, or worse. With us here in the States, it's beginning. Guys, in the United States, again, you know, I'll repeat myself with this, okay? Don't think that this is just over there, all right? The Democratic Party, you know, is bringing in Muslims hand over fist because they know they're going to vote for them. And if you think that the same things that are going on with Tommy Robinson in the UK and with, you know, people like, you know, and with people in Canada who are being shut down and silenced and jailed and things like that, if you think that's going to stay in those countries, you are sadly mistaken.
Yep.
You know, and it's
a global
and,
conspiracy against the free
is,
world,
yeah.
Dave.
Global. Global.
Global,
yeah.
Isn't it? It's a global, well, call it what you like, conspiracy. We don't like conspiracy, but this is where they're all in it together. Proves how evil these governments really are, doesn't
like
it, Dave, doesn't it,
yes.
Jen? Oh, this is
they
what we're up against. That. That's not the same. We need,
they know.
I've said it for many years,
they know
and
what's happening.
You know my feelings, and so do you, Jen, that we need to totally do, you know, to re-establish our political system, to do away with these shysters, these ones that's causing all these problems, and protect evil people, protect the evil ones out there. That's what needs to be done, and I don't know how it's going to go about. It may be a revolution. How about that, Jen? Let's have a bloody revolution sorted out.
Oh, we need one, and what we do need is what Margaret Thatcher said.
We'll build our own
we
bloody guillotines, won't we, Jen, eh?
Yep, we need to stop liberalisation in the schools when the children of four go into school being taught by left-wing teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's wrong in this world, they're being programmed. So we're getting more and more and more children coming out of schools and colleges, complete left-wing, brains defuddled, all cocked up. Right. No real way of thinking because they've been destroyed anyway. I mean, left-wing, liberalism, crazy.
It's been the gateway drug,
of a revolution to sort out these issues. Am I far-fetched with that, Jan, or is it the only way that we can achieve to try to put some rights and some wrongs to right? Is it the only solution that we could go for?
Now, the only way we can stop this now, it's gone so far, political correctness, these left-wing loonies. Now we've got transgender toilets where men can go in with children, little girls. All the schools in Scotland are like it. All the schools in England are getting like it, where boys and girls are sharing the same toilet. What is wrong with these people? Why spend all these millions of pounds and dollars to change toilets so that paedophiles can walk in, men can go in little girls' toilets and vice versa? It's absolutely crazy.
It's creating a distraction, guys. We need to really stand up and fight against this pathetic stupidness and dangerous situation for our children. This is dangerous, isn't it, Jane? We've got over a million girls and boys that's been raped across this country. How many kids that we talk about now could have the same situation as we talk on air now, Jan? Could be happening to these poor kids out
well,
there.
Well, did you see that video yesterday of a naked man at a modelling show? Like, he was about 6'4", thin as a beanpole, totally naked and holding hands either side with three little girls and a little boy walking down the runway, as they call it.
Ew.
Model nakedness. And this is what they're promoting.
It,
I mean, are we going to get a call calling some freak when they are the freak?
It's got to be... Jan, am I right? Is this pure evil?
Yep.
Is it...
This is satanically driven, Dave and Jane. It is the devil's work, isn't it?
Inspired. I'm sorry, Dave. I know you were just talking. Go ahead, Dave.
Jeff, I was just going to say to Jan and to the listeners, I mean, I did a show over the summer where I covered this, and it was one of these TED meetings. They get together and discuss all these high-flown leftist ideas, and this woman comes out, and she is the creepiest, maybe this is my vision, but I've had people with full vision tell me that they got the same impression. Is this woman, I think she's from Germany, or Austria perhaps, and it just looks creepy out there on the stage and talks about how she has this friend that's a pedophile and about how pedophilia, should not be illegal. That pedophiles should, it should be treated as a disease. She didn't mention this, but I get the impression almost like alcoholism or something like that.
Yeah.
And you can tell through her whole creeped out, creepy presentation that it's all leading towards full civil rights for pedophiles, guys. Not just legalization of it, but full civil rights. So if you hire a babysitter and it turns out that babysitter is a pedophile, you can't fire them because they're a pedophile. They want that. That's what they want. And it's all a distraction, guys. Let's remember this.
Yeah.
I'll shut up after this. This is all a distraction because they want to take people's minds and attentions away from the real problem. And the real problem here, the most existential problem on this earth right now, is the spread of Islam. That is the problem. Islam and Islamic ideology. It is the biggest problem, you know, and I've been doing this over 50 years, folks, so I know what I'm talking about. This is the biggest threat to civilization that I have seen in half a century.
Yeah.
Back to you guys.
Yeah. I agree with you, Dave. I agree with Jan with the way things are. But as I say, we do our best. The radio show, we speak about these issues because it needs to be spoke about. It needs to be spoke about without a liberal-minded people who sit in there discussing that maybe they should bring it into the law, maybe they should allow paedophiles. It's people like us who will prevent this happening. We will stop them, and we got no choice. This is pure and utter evil, and we must at all stop what's happening. We haven't got no choice, because you've got to protect the innocents, haven't you, Jan and Dave? You've got to protect young children. I mean, it's what we would put in this world for, to look after our children and help them develop and make them, you know, help them to make them into decent people for when they grow up. But unfortunately, this time that we live now, it is so messed up. It is, Jan, isn't it? It's really, really confusing. How can you get your head around the way that things are going in this country and across the world? You know, America, Dave, what's going on in America? What's happening they're doing to your supreme, the one that could be the next supreme judge? Look what they're doing,
God, man.
It's just unbelievable. The persecution of a man and his family. It's like Tommy Robinson all over again. Judge Kavanaugh, a good man. I hope you don't mind. I just want to bring that because I've been following it really close. I'm really thrilled for Brett.
I know exactly what you mean. And you know, this was discussed last night on Sackheads Radio, which can be heard on SHR Media. And the point I brought up in the chat in that is very clear, to this. And that is that if you're a Democrat and you're a male in the United States of America, you're next. Okay, they're going after men. That's what they're doing. They're going after men. And Jeff, I'm going to give you a copy real quick of this of the show that I did. It was over the summer. Now this show was called Pedos, and it's got that that really creepy presentation that this woman made. If you want to throw that in the chat room, you can. Okay. And Jen, I'll give it to you as well in your regular account, not in this one that we're sharing here.
Thank you.
Because I mean, the thing is though, Jeff, they're doing everything they can. This is right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. They're doing everything they can in both of our countries, by the way, to separate everyone from each other. Everybody's the enemy. Women, men are the enemy. People are the enemy. That's the point, Jeff. We don't need to be separate from each other. We need to be united with each other. And we need to unite with each other in love and in respect for each other and for the core values, the core Judeo-Christian values of our countries. And Jan, I just want to say because we're just about done. I just want to say it is good to have you back, girl.
I'm messing about on here as usual. I'm just about to get in the chat room as we're about to finish, but that's me.
I'm just looking at the Jan once again. Well, welcome back today. It was, and we've missed you. We have missed you, Jan, but we know, you know, work is work and you've got to do what you got to do. But it's so lovely to have you here today with myself and Dave. It was like a sausage fest before, you see, just me and Dave, wasn't it, Dave? But, Jan, Dave just tweaked it there, I'll say. But, Jan, I'm going to say to you, your final thoughts, and where can the listeners find you during the week? You have a Facebook page, etc. Where can they find you, Jan?
I've got 36 pages I've not worked on for ages. I'm concentrating on Christian Defence League group, although I will be back to the pages because they keep connecting me. When I lost my three accounts, they connect that Jan Rennie is Jan Rennie is Jan Rennie, Jan England. So they've all gone. So now I'm having to, and I hate this, I'm having to get an account with a different name, but I will let you know who I am. Because I hate deceit.
Lovely, Jan.
But I'm going to try and deceive Facebook. We'll see how we get on there. But my final
don't
thought...
Don't say... Jake.
With Tommy and his family. God bless that man. His strength and his integrity. What a good man. And to his wife and children, of course. Truth will out. In the meantime, keep the pecker up and keep fighting. Have faith. We will win. I hope in my lifetime, God knows I've worked hard enough for it.
I'm with you, Jane. Thank you, Jane. Thank you so much for those lovely words and that. And great final thoughts.
The chat room, I can't see yet. And I don't know who else is in the chat room. I hope my Bob's in there, but, you know, if he's not, we'll just kick his ass. And I'll see you next time. And thank you for having me back, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, we love having you here with us, Jan. Thank you so much. And Dave, we've only got a few minutes or so.
Seconds.
Oh, we've got 90 seconds. Dave, your final thoughts, and where to find you, quick, man.
Okay, the Unpleasant Blank guy, Spreaker.com. And I just want to say, God bless Tommy Robinson and his family. And, no surrender ever.
No surrender ever.
No surrender ever. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you this Sunday. No surrender, no surrender ever. We're going underground. Thank you, guys.
60 seconds.
Bye.
For 60 seconds, you just told me.
La la la.
you go. that's the end of the live part of the show today, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll be back again this Sunday with another show. So once again, I've got to thank Dave. Dave, great slides, great scripting as usual. And great to have our Jan the Tornado Rennie back today as well with us. Jan is awesome as usual. And also to you, Jan, for all the different the links you put in our Facebook page and that. Thank you very much. So, guys, with that, we'll see you again this Sunday. Have a good weekend. Take care. Just please be vigilant out there, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? No surrender. No surrender ever. Cheers, guys.